Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of Tight Mates Fitness Podcast, episode 20 of our season. Today we're looking at a topic that I love, and it's called the power of stepping outside of your comfort zone. So a bit of fear versus excitement, committing to something beyond your limits. So it's a bit of a topic, I guess, that I'm not an expert in, as I feel like my journey in this area is, I guess, only beginning.
Mm. I feel, yeah, it's right. Like, what right do we have to sort of talk about this? We probably don't have too much of a right, but we just want to talk about conversations that we like to have, and talk about people that we enjoy that sort of guide us in the right way.
Now, there's something that you love playing regularly. I probably hear you play it once a week, I would say, quite easily. So it's from a guy that we absolutely love. And if you haven't heard of him before, his name's Chris Williamson, and he has a podcast called Modern Wisdom, which gets some really great insights from. And Kyle's about to play something that he loves too.
Let's go. Just give me a second here.
She said, I know of no better life purpose than to perish in attempting the great and impossible. The fact that something seems impossible shouldn't be a reason to not pursue it. That's exactly what makes it worth pursuing. Where would the courage and greatness be if success was certain and there was no risk? The only true failure is shrinking away from life's challenges.
Bang.
Gets me every time.
It hits hard.
It does. It's something that, I don't know, you sort of take for granted sometimes when you're comfortable doing the same things and you sort of want to put yourself in an uncomfortable position. It's never nice to be in, but when you look back at something in hindsight, it's definitely something that's, you know, been credible for your journey.
Yeah, certainly. And I guess on top of that, like he speaks about, you know, reaching something, a goal, something at the peak. Do you know what that thing is for you right now?
Well, I haven't been running much lately, and we were going to sign up for the Melbourne Marathon and we never did.
Well, I was planning to. You said you were going to do Sydney, but
yeah. So happening? I'm going to lock in Sydney.
Sydney.
With limited
training.
But just do it, because it would be super hard. I might not get the better timing. But
I like it.
I'll still do another marathon.
There was another thing that we were speaking about maybe a couple of days ago that I locked in myself, and I said, why don't you do it with me? And you've come out and you were like, yeah, okay. Can you, right now, can you, yeah, you did, okay. Yeah, but you didn't say no. So I thought maybe he's a bit fearful. What's holding him back?
Time is the essence.
Time is of the essence, but would you commit to a half Ironman 70.3? Run it with you. We'll do it with your brother if you can keep up.
All right, let's do it.
He's locked in. You heard it here first, but that'll be definitely something physical that will probably push you beyond your limits, get you out of your comfort zone, which I'm really looking forward to see how you respond to.
Yeah,
to it.
It's we'll have to whip up a program and build towards it. I'll start running for the marathon
and swimming
and sort of
and bike riding.
Set a baseline there.
Ah, perfect. Might so be. You can build upon your running area first, and then once you tick that off, you can transition into a bit more of swimming and bike riding.
Mm.
Moving into summer.
Hopefully, I don't drown, hey.
Mate, you'll be fine. But I guess, like, even on top of that, you'll go and do your marathon, and from achieving your marathon, you might get a sense of, because I've done that, maybe I can do something else greater.
Mm. You can always do something greater. It's, you don't want to put any limits on yourself. It, like, you know, you could have done an Ironman. You did the marathon. Well, actually, no, you did a half Ironman first before a marathon, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you did the half maras, but you knew you could do a marathon. It's like when we were talking to Zach last week. He said it's just a number. So it's a matter of, Nick Bear spoke about it too, it's only 3.5 hours or whatever it takes of your life to complete a marathon. So when you look at it like that, it's a very small period of going through something hard.
Yeah, definitely. And in a way, you can make a marathon as hard or as, I guess,
easy
as you want. I mean, and doing a marathon isn't easy at all for anyone, but for different people, running it at a 4-hour time may be hard or it might be super easy for someone.
Yeah.
So whatever you perceive as hard is quite different to how someone else does. And I guess recently I was actually watching a documentary. It was quite fascinating because I didn't know a lot about Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce his last name. But obviously everyone knows that he was a champion bodybuilder. But I didn't realize that I knew he had an accent, but he actually come from Austria, which I knew he didn't have an American accent, but I always like wondered how did his story come about? And he actually transitioned from Austria, living up as a young boy over there. There wasn't much bodybuilding and he had to move at a young age with no money, no people in his family, like really inspiring him to go off and, you know, do that journey. They would always ask him questions like, well, why are you doing this rather than go for it, mate?
Yeah.
So he actually ventured over to, I think, Germany first and then built upon Germany, went to the UK, won a bodybuilding show, and then he finally made his way over to the States where he won Mr. Olympia, etc.
The big smoke.
But that's not where, like, he was only in bodybuilding for a very short period of time and he sort of recognized that he achieved everything that he could.
Yeah, well, he won 4 Olympias in a row.
In a row.
And then he was like, well, what from here?
Yeah, he kind of like stated that he was a bit bored and he needed that new...
Something new.
Something that would, you know, I guess he feared, or he needed a new challenge to work towards. And I think he said something like he needs to give someone else a go in the bodybuilding. So then he transitioned to acting.
But like, as we saw in the doco, like it wasn't easy for him to just fully transition into acting. It took him a lot of years to...
It might have been around a decade for him to actually break into a major role.
I think it took 5 years to do like a casting role or something like that. But yeah, it's... he initially set out that he's going to do acting and he stuck to it and... He got to a point where he's like, nah, I'm only taking major roles. I'm not doing anything until I do.
Yeah, but it didn't come easy for him. And then obviously he had massive amounts of successes in acting through like Terminator, I'll Be Back, etc. But it didn't stop there for Arnold. He then wanted to pursue becoming governor of California, which I kind of knew all about, but I didn't know much. And... to transition from like, two different things and then finish with becoming like, well, he didn't finish there, but being able to become a governor from his background being an actor and a bodybuilder is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, well, talking about the sunk cost fallacy, that's where you're fully invested. Say you've been in a job for 10 years and yeah, you've probably gained a lot within that role and you're very experienced, you've done so many hours. It's for him to acknowledge that he's going to move from bodybuilding, where he was dominating the field, to then go into acting, where you'd start at a lower pecking order.
Starting up nothing, basically.
Yeah, and building up from there. And then obviously the acting gave him a good platform to transition into governing, but... the fact that he moved into governing as well shows that he doesn't care if he's had this full investment with a particular role, a job, or whatever it is. He's willing to take that sacrifice and that risk.
And step out of his comfort zone to pursue the different things that he was able to achieve, which is quite remarkable. So for anyone, I suggest actually watching that documentary. It's quite great, I think. Get some really good insights into his life and the different things that he had to overcome, and I guess be super disciplined. And there's a quote that I love, and I think I heard Chris Williamson speak about it. It's discipline eats motivation for breakfast.
Hell yeah, it does. you cannot depend on motivation. That's something that comes and goes in ebbs and flows. So bit of a rhyme there.
Not bad by you.
Yeah, it's discipline. I know I fall short plenty of times, but it's slowly building those better habits that are going to be more ingrained to your identity, because we know that habits are everything. Habits are your life. Habits are who you are.
And you can change your habits. If you can recognize that that's a poor habit that you've got, change it. Replace it with something new.
Might not be easy, but yeah, what you said. And yeah, if you can swap it out for something as opposed to completely removing it, that can be the hardest thing, because trying to remove a habit out of your environment can be quite difficult. Say if you completely remove your environment, say you move away, and you can sort of establish new habits for yourself because it's a new environment, something that you haven't continually done bad habits in yet.
Yeah.
Mm.
I like it. I like it a lot. But I guess upon our topic, what are a few things that you fear greatly, Kyle?
At the moment?
Yeah.
There's actually, this one's a bit different. I was talking to Harish the other day.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I don't think I'll be able to do skydiving because of his shoulder.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you might have to do it for me.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, fuck, that's a big fear of mine, skydiving. So, I might have to talk more with him to see. So
you've recognized it, so you might have to commit to that one as well.
Probably.
But it's good that you know of it and that it's something that you really want to do now because you fear it so much.
Mm. What's yours?
Probably, I've got a fair few, but like I wouldn't sort of put one down as the greatest fear, but I guess like a lot of people, speaking in front of large groups scares me. And I guess
the biggest fear of it,
probably just thinking, or maybe not being able to speak clearly about something, or
stuffing up.
But really, like, everyone's probably too busy thinking about themselves in one way or another, so like you've just got to remember that. But look, I know I've got a few opportunities coming up with teaching where I can practice this, build upon my experience, and I guess I'll just build confidence. And it's even one thing about speaking on a podcast, like we've had, you know, a lot of people listen to it, especially the podcast where we've had guests on. And I just think, you know, some of them might have 200 listens, and I sort of think that, well, if there was 200 people in a room that I was speaking to, how would I feel about that?
Yeah.
And I would definitely fear it.
Yeah.
But being able to speak on a podcast and reach that amount of people, you still think, shit, like, it's pretty cool that you can do that.
Yeah, it's the same with Instagram. Say you have, I don't know, 800 views or whatever it is, that's 800 people that have watched it. So yeah, it's even trying to change that concept, because yeah, public speaking is a fear for me as well. More so, yeah, just stuffing up.
Yeah.
But it's about repetition
and practice.
The more you do things, the more you talk about different conversations, different topics, the more competent you feel. It's not such go out there with confidence, because if you're not competent in that particular topic, then it's going to show that you're not confident.
I like it.
I've got another fear.
Yeah.
It's filming in the gym and actually talking to the camera. It feels so weird. And
why does it feel weird?
Well, you just think everyone's watching you.
Yeah, but really, probably no one cares.
Yeah. You have a few people that judge you, but
yeah,
that's a part of it.
But So, yeah, they don't understand that you're a personal trainer and that's what you need to do to educate people. And yeah, if it comes back to whenever you're doing it, maybe you got to remember this is the purpose is that I'll be able to educate people from it.
Yeah, it's not about me, it's about others.
Yeah.
Mm. Reframing it.
Yeah, but good to acknowledge it. And I guess what things are you going to do to overcome that?
Just film.
Get it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, so one for me. I guess a lot of Nick Bear, David Goggins, a lot of people speak about going into some sort of darkness in longer endurance events. It's probably something that I really actually crave. I want to do it, but I'm also very fearful of it, which is kind of a weird, I don't know.
Fearful of what?
Fearful of how I will respond when I go into this so-called darkness of like, and like the pain so bear it, like you're going through so much pain that it sort of breaks you down, which I don't think I've really experienced in anything that I've done yet. So I really want to, I guess, commit to a ultra marathon or maybe, well, definitely an Ironman. It's on the horizon. I really want to do that. And I guess in one of those two events or both, I'll probably get some darkness and really want to see how I respond to that.
Get some Batman in you. Some darkness, eh?
Yes. Anything else that you have? That any goals or fears that you have that you really need to overcome?
Nah, can't think of any at the moment.
Oh, that's all right. Well, you've covered a fair few. You've committed to a few things, which we like to see. But for anyone listening, maybe right now is a good time to write down a few things that you maybe fear. That could be mentally, like speaking in front of someone. Could be physically. Maybe you want to do your first 5-kilometer run. Could be your first marathon. Could be your first Ironman, whatever that is. Yeah. Write it down.
If you feel like you're in a comfortable spot where you've haven't been doing much at the moment, then just buy into something that's feels unattainable at the time. But once you buy it, I'm going to buy the Sydney Marathon
now. Right now. Do it right now.
So once you buy it, that's where you know it's sealed in.
And it's where I guess you buy it, you make that commitment, you have to perform some sort of structure. To be able to complete that thing, because if you don't put it out, and that's also another thing I like doing is putting it out there. And that's why I'm asking you right now on this podcast, like, what are the things that you fear? Let's knock those fears over and have a go at them. So like, I think a good technique is, yeah, putting it out there. If that could just be telling a close friend of yours, it could be putting on the social media, if you're that way inclined, just making that commitment and setting goals. And then you might have to make little goals for that big goal, like your weekly runs, I don't know, your weekly swims, whatever that is. It could be for public speaking. You might need to go to a Toastmasters or something like that to improve your communication skills. Or maybe you're in a class, and you're learning about something, like this could be at school or at uni, and the opportunity for you to speak about something comes up, just go for it and start speaking in front of people in your class.
Yeah.
It's a great way.
It's even, I don't know, at uni, you might be scared to put your hand up and talk about something.
Yeah.
Just once you do it, you feel more confident, and then you'll do it again and again and again.
Yeah.
And you'll be the go-to person.
Yeah, confidence builds upon confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a few podcasts that I've been listening to, and it's actually one on Joe Rogan. I love listening to him. He actually gets a guest on called Michael Easter, and he has a book about the comfort crisis. So the book's all about embracing discomfort in a world that's, I guess, very technology-driven. We're in an age where I guess some people may not have a lot of physical challenges due to, like, we have great transportation, as in food, vehicles, food, etc. And he just speaks upon how our natural ancestral ways were, and how we were meant to do different physical challenges, putting our bodies, I guess, to different limits. He speaks about tribes overseas, and how they're able to run like 10 to 20 kilometers every day to, you know, hunt down and get animals, etc.
Mm.
So a really good podcast to listen to. And like I said, he's got the book there called Comfort Crisis. So it's just embracing discomfort, getting yourself out into nature, doing different challenges. And I think it's just really good for your mental mindset to do things that are hard. And then I guess anything David Goggins related, and his books as well, Staying Hard. It's quite interesting. And another podcast that I think is really great for young males to listen to is a guy called Chris Williamson, which you played earlier, Kyle. He speaks to a lot of like young males and different challenges that I guess masculinity has in this day and age. And I find him super inspirational and I get a lot from him. And probably his podcast on Nick Bear's podcast with Chris Williamson is really good. So definitely recommend that one. Kyle, do you have any more things that you'd like to
add upon? There's one with Mr. Olympia at the moment with Chris. That was quite good. They talk about masculinity, but they talk about the contrasting masculinities because obviously Chris isn't all out there. Chris
introverted.
He's introverted, but he's still masculine in the way that
physical appearance,
but certain different ways, like looking after family. And then you have another extremist like Andrew Tate, who is
a bit more of a toxic masculinity.
Yeah, he's a bit more extreme, and it doesn't mean you have to be like Andrew Tate. It doesn't mean you have to be like Chris. You find the things that work for you in regards to that. It's not even about masculinity. It's about anything, any topics. Take ideas from this individual, take ideas from that individual, and use it as your own.
I like it.
Mm.
That's very good. And I guess like there's a few email lists that I look upon regularly. I absolutely love them. You can go to their websites and actually sort of type in your email, and you'll get weekly emails from guys like, well, I recommend getting emails from like the people like James Clear, Mark Manson, Chris Williamson. He has some really good ones that we were just speaking about. Different, just life perspective on different things. And I guess if you're regularly seeing different emails that put questions in your mind about life, like it varies every week. But I think it's good to be asked questions and to actually sit there and think about it. When you're reading emails, you're generally in a bit of a, I guess, secluded space, generally.
Yeah, you're like, in more of a thinking. Emails are based on that, whereas social media is like, oh, you're just going to flick across. Whereas emails are more towards when you're sitting down at the desk, when you're concentrating, or in the mornings, whenever you read your email. I'm just going through the marathon. What should I put on my bib?
The Fear King.
No. The Fear King. Nah. This is what hard feels like.
Yeah, you could do that.
Nah, I think I just gave it simple. Kyle.
So Kyle will be completing the Sydney Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
Have you finished
it? So that's something that you've spoken about for a long time. And it's good that you've finally committed to it. I know you've done marathons in the past, but not in Sydney. So, and I've heard it's quite hilly as well. So good luck with that one.
That's good.
There's a quote by Tim Grover, who has a great book called Winning. I actually put it as, I think, my first thread. So you can give me a follow on Threads too. I've been meaning to put a bit more stuff on there. But the quote is...
You said you were going to do one every single day.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I might have to write that back down and maybe recommit to it. But his quote is, if you think the cost of winning is high, just wait until you get the bill of regret. So if you've always feared something and you haven't committed to it, then you may get some bill of regret. And that's not what we want.
No, you don't want to be at a point in life, say, as dark as it sounds, if you die early, you don't want to be at a point wondering, have I lived a fulfilled life? So take opportunities, do different things. That's what we need to do more of. Well, that's, traveling, moving away, whatever.
There's so many things that can get you out of your just comfort zone. Like, just break up your day, get out, do something different if you're stuck. Yeah, there's so many different ways of getting outside of your comfort zone, which is really what I think everyone should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And anything I think else? We might wrap it up there, KT.
Absolutely.
So we, hope you've enjoyed our little podcast today. If you've got something from it, great. If you want to commit to something, just go out there and do it.
If you want to do the Sydney Marathon with me, DM me and jump on board. We'll make a little group if anyone wants to do it and go up to Sydney with me.
Perfect.
That'd be lit.
Righto. Bye.
Bye.